Well, hey, what's up, everybody? Back here in the podcast studio with Jake,
that's right,
college pastor. So we just wrapped up our three-part series on idolatry called When Good Becomes God.
Lowercase.
Yeah. Thank you. And we're going to talk about it here, but it's just about our natural tendency as humans to take good things in our lives and elevate them to the place of God in our lives. Because we think if we just get that, whatever that good thing is, it'll satisfy our souls, it'll make us feel secure, and we'll find significance. So we're going to talk a little about that. But before we jump in, you you preached part three.
I did.
It was your first Sunday preaching here in Woodstock City. How'd you feel?
Yeah, it was great. I feel like, you know, there's all the buildup that there is, and then now it's summer now.
Right.
And it's Memorial Day, and we can awesome. Kind of relax. But yeah, it was fun.
You did great.
Yeah,
you
I appreciate great. That.
Yeah, it was awesome. You doing good, though?
Yeah, doing good. Yeah, good. Trying to find some time this summer to find some sun. And just get by the lake, any body of water, honestly.
So lake, is that not the beach? I'm not saying, I'm not hitting on lake. I don't know. Surprised.
So here's the difference. The beach is like relaxed.
Okay.
The lake is more like
fun. Adventure. That's
adventure.
Fair.
Yep. You know, like fair the enough. Jet skis and all the things.
Got it. I guess so, with my stage of life, we're going to be at the beach over Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, that's fun.
Which I'm pumped about.
Yeah.
And with our little kids, jet skis. My
sure,
kids have been
sure,
on them,
sure,
but
sure,
it's
sure.
not it's not the same. So
right.
We'll be at the beach with our in-laws.
That's for the best.
Yeah, my in-laws are great. I love traveling with our family.
That's fun.
So speaking of in-laws, you're about to get some. When
are
you getting married?
October.
Yeah. Okay. That'll
so
be fun.
A couple months away.
Thanks for inviting me to your wedding.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Do you feel like you had to invite me?
You were on the C list for sure.
Dang.
There's an A, B, and then there's a C.
Well, a lot of people said no.
I wanted to keep my job. Okay. So yeah.
Let's jump in to the content. That's good. That will be a lot of fun. So, Jake, just why don't you tell us where we're going today?
Yeah. So, like Sarah said, we just wrapped a series called When Good Becomes God. And I feel like even as we were planning this, there's a story, there's a scripture that we're going to talk about today that just kept coming up. It's like, should we talk about that week one?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't really fit. What about week two? It kind of is a case study on idolatry.
It's honestly, speaking of guest lists, it's kind of like that. I'm the on your guest list. You kept getting bumped.
Yeah,
that's
the
story.
Yeah, yeah, just kept getting bumping bumped. It from the list. Yeah. You might get uninvited at this point. I'm just kidding. I like my job. But yeah, it's just kind of a case study on really all the principles we've been talking about. Is kind of seeing them, and it's interesting. Idolatry kind of transforms over generations and cultures. I mean, we're about to read something from thousands and thousands of years ago with like a very physical idol, and over the past few weeks, we've been talking about more of like our Western, you know, world American version of idols. But it's really interesting to kind of talk through something like this. It's the story of the golden calf that a lot of people are probably familiar with to a degree if they grew up in church.
Yeah.
But they might not be.
Yeah.
So
just a quick overview. So Exodus 32, the nation of Israel has been brought out of Egypt. They saw the whole split the Red Sea thing with Moses, all those miracles. And so here in Exodus 32, Moses is up on Mount Sinai. He's getting the Ten Commandments from God. And he was gone a little bit too long for the Israelites' comfort. We'll talk about that in a second. And so they start to get a little bit nervous and fearful, and they've got to have a God to worship. And so they ask Aaron, who was second in command, to fashion them an idol made from these gold earrings that they had. And it's a golden calf.
Yep.
Weird. And so then it's a golden calf. So then they start worshiping the golden calf. God, obviously, is God. He knows about it. Yeah. Tells Moses of Mount Sinai. Moses comes back down. He's angry. It's when he smashes the Ten Commandments, all that stuff. And so we're going to dig into the details, but that's the moment that we're going to jump into here in Exodus 32.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, I mean, you can pull so much from this. We can talk about this for hours, but I really do think there are probably five things that we could probably hit on specifically as it relates to this conversation of good things becoming God things.
Yeah.
And the first thing, and you kind of, I mean, you talk about this and the kind of summary of this, but kind of the big thing in this story in general is just this idea of impatience and how our impatience when we want something, specifically we want something, we pray about something, wanting something from God, our impatience in whatever circumstance is what kind of leads us to pursue idolatry or leads us to create things. I mean, even the very beginning of this in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. He is gone.
Yeah.
40
days.
Right, so long.
No, that's it. Yeah, he's not gone for about 40 days.
Yeah.
And you see the impatience, and you're exactly right. And this is kind of the first principle, that impatience can lead us to idolatry. about 40 days, mm-hmm. and they're confused. Where is he? What happened mm-hmm. to Moses? Like, did he die? Has he forgotten about us? Has God right. forgotten about us? Right. And so they start to grow distressed and anxious and worried and fearful. And with every day, they're growing more and more impatient. And it finally kind of reaches a breaking point for them where they're like, okay, well, Moses, who led us out of Egypt mm-hmm. as kind of God's representative, right? Like, he's gone. I guess that means God is gone.
Right.
So they needed something like tangible.
Right in front of them.
To worship right mm-hmm. in front of them. And so what do they do? Well, they were so uncomfortable with their current circumstances.
Yeah.
They were so impatient with God. Like, think about this. God just led them through a ridiculous amount of miracles bringing mm-hmm. them out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And they're worried that he's left. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just mm-hmm. so they're so uncomfortable with their current circumstances.
Right.
It led to a really irrational decision. The manufacturing of this idol that they begin worshiping. And right. I know it sounds a little bit weird, but like, we're the same way.
Yeah.
They were so worried that they felt like they needed to control a situation they felt like they were losing control over. But we do the very same thing. Whenever we grow impatient with God, with his timing, we've got hopes, we've got dreams, we've got plans, we've got things that we want to be true for our lives. Whenever mm-hmm. those aren't changing,
yeah.
whenever they're not happening at our pace, whenever they're not happening in the way that we would want the dominoes to fall, that impatience can lead us to prop up something good that we ultimately want as God. And
yeah.
this is worth recalling. It's a quote from Tim Keller. In his book called Counterfeit Gods, I cannot recommend it enough. And he says, again, I mentioned this in week one, but we think that idols, he writes, we think that idols are bad things, but that is almost never the case. The greater the good, the more likely we are to expect that it can satisfy our deepest needs and hopes. Anything can serve as a counterfeit God, especially the very best things in life. So God's not working it out the way that we want. Impatience, I'm going to fill in the gap.
Yeah,
God's not working out the way that we want. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. Doesn't seem like my prayers are getting answered.
Yeah.
I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And so just a few examples. And I bet you and I could talk about the way this happened. But like success then can become the measure of our fulfillment.
Yeah.
Or I wrote down here, a relationship becomes to be the ultimate place we look for in validation. A hobby becomes a habit that we run to numb our stress. Anything that we can control to try to overdrive our need for security. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you see this impatience and not liking our circumstances led to idolatry.
Yeah. And I love that idea that impatience is this, it's when we feel like we're out of control.
Yep.
I've never thought of that before. Like when I'm impatient, I mean, I think about traffic yesterday, stuck in traffic, hello, 575. And it's like I'm not in control of my ETA anymore.
Right.
You know, like, and so like I'm feeling impatient in the same way we can get impatient with, you know, we're praying and asking God for something. We have no idea when, if it's going to come. And so
how it's going to
we decide, you know what, I don't want to wait any longer. Let me just do this myself.
Let me do this myself. Yeah. Exactly. And then suddenly the thing that we are waiting on God for mm-hmm. becomes this God, and we think mm-hmm. it's going to give us what we want. And again, I mean, I'll just be honest, like, when I first started in ministry here at Woodstock City, I was the college pastor. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that to you like you didn't know that. and we first started at KSU. I'd never done a job in ministry before. I was fresh out of seminary. And we had like 60 students showing up. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here thinking, if I just preach, this thing's going to blow up. We're going to outgrow this room so fast. Mm-hmm. That did not happen. The blow up did not happen for years later.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, success in ministry became this God in my life. Mm. And I remember, because attendance was not growing, I literally started to think, maybe I'm not cut out for this.
Yeah, wow.
And if 10 years ago, I could go back and kind of slap myself in the face about, hey, man, you have no idea. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. You've made something good, wanting to grow something for the kingdom, God, and you've lost sight of who you are, mm-hmm. who God is, and your role in all of this. It's not about you. And so— mm-hmm. But it's just so easy to do.
Yeah.
You get impatient with where you want something to be and what you want something to do. It becomes God, and it changes the way that you view yourself, your circumstances, and even God.
Yeah, it feels like, too, when you take your eyes off of God as God, and you start to, like you mentioned, putting mm-hmm. success or attendance, whatever, as God, it almost like multiplies the amount, like, because you're like, okay, attendance is God, but also in the, I kind of feel like God in this sense, because if I can be really good, then that'll go, you know, so
100%.
It almost starts multiplying the amount of things that we start to worship.
100%. I remember, not to belabor the point, but I remember I asked Gavin, our previous lead pastor who hired me to come speak in the living room, and I remember, it was like 56 students. Why I remember that, I don't know, because I just need to go back to counseling.
Yeah, right.
And I remember thinking, he's going to fire me. Like, of all the weeks, we delayed start. I'm not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can ask Scott, our production. He was doing production that night. I delayed start by 15 minutes in hopes that a few more people, like, oh,
traffic,
maybe there'd be a traffic.
Yeah.
No,
we're still Chick-fil-A.
We just started 15 minutes late, you know? Yeah. So anyways, that's really good.
No, and I think that's really interesting too. I think, I mean, going back to this, the fact that this calf was fashioned out of things that they brought to the table.
Yes.
It's like the things that God has blessed us with. Like, God as the giver has gifted us things, and yet those gifts are the very thing that we begin to worship.
Yep.
Like God's blessings are where a lot of our idols are made out of. I mean, even the next verse in Exodus 32. So Aaron answers these people, and they're telling him to make an idol. He says, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. It's like we start to worship the gift rather than the giver.
Yeah.
And we start to make things and make some, like, it's...
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And this is kind of the whole idea of the series, right? When good becomes God.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, kind of point number two really is that these blessings can become the idols of worship. And, okay, these gold earrings. In Exodus 12, verse 35, right before they leave Egypt, right before the whole Red Sea, moment, there's this really interesting thing that happens in Exodus 12, 35, where we're told that God gave the Egyptians a favorable disposition towards the Israelites so that whatever the Israelites asked for, they got it.
Yeah.
So it literally tells us the Israelites asked for gold and silver and they just got, like, they got away with highway robbery. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like the Ocean's 11 in plain sight, whatever. And so they just got all this jewelry and all this gold and silver from the Egyptians because they asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they crossed, you know, through the Red Sea and all this with it. And then here they are. Like you just said, using that very thing to fashion an idol in place of God, breaking the second commandment, which we talked about in week two. And so, this we do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pick the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
God blesses us with an income. We cling to it for security.
Yeah.
God blesses us with influence. We use it to build our own kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
God blesses us with children. And then their success and failure is a reflection on us.
Right.
And like I said in week two, suddenly we start to care about their last name more than we care about their first name.
Mm-hmm.
God blesses us with a marriage. And then we put an impossible pressure on our spouse to fulfill our deepest desires. So this, we go on and on and on. Again, nothing wrong with any of those things.
Yeah.
But when they become God, they're never able to come through for us because they weren't created to be the things that we need them ultimately to be for us.
And I think that's where sometimes we get deceived into thinking that we don't have idols in our lives because we think idols have to be bad things.
You're right.
And so, okay, cool. You want me to remove the idols?
Yeah.
I'm not going to remove my family.
Right, exactly.
I'm not going to remove my job. I'm not going to remove, like, you know, like, influence. And you shouldn't.
Exactly.
It's just, how are you leveraging the good things for God,
yes,
like the God.
Yes.
You know, it's like we talked about last week, like, you make a lot of, it's not like we don't see God as God. He's just one of many gods that we worship.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll worship him on Sunday, but then there's all these other gods that we worship throughout the rest of the week. And it's not that we have to, like, no one's saying, like, hey, you know what, you got to abandon your family and
run
away.
No,
like,
yeah, exactly.
That's not
exactly.
it. Like, don't go home and, like, chastise your children because, you know, like, that's not the goal. 100%. But it is like, man, how am I raising my kids for the glory of God?
Yes.
How am I leveraging... I'm about to walk into a really difficult conversation at work. How am I going to handle this delicately so that this person sees Jesus in me?
100%. And it, like the kid one or your family, just because they're not an idol doesn't mean they're not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And to your point, the way you love your family and show up for them, the actually best way to do that isn't to idolize them and put them in this spot where they reflect on you, they fulfill some kind of need that you have.
Yep.
The best way to love them is to make sure you are fully aligned with the heart of God and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yep.
Then what's actually best for them, you're able to prioritize them in the most loving possible way.
Yeah. And the way that you love them is by showing them that there is a God that's worth all of your, you know, like
exactly.
We don't want to be God to our own families.
100%.
To our own, you know, like
100%.
We want to point them back to God, which is cool too. Something else, you mentioned this in week one, that we all worship something. And it's like, you know, we kind of have to replace the idea of what we're worshiping, because we do always worship something.
Yep.
The object just changes.
Exactly.
Like we're going to worship for our entire lives. That's who we were created to be. That's part of the way God wired us, is to put our affection and focus on something. But the object just changes.
Yeah. And you see this in Exodus,
mm-hmm.
that Moses, you know, when he's there, they're worshiping God. Oh my gosh. We out of Egypt, he delivers from Egypt, and then he leaves. They think he's gone, right? Mm-hmm. They grow impatient. They don't just stop worshiping. They look for something else to worship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason for that is because I think, well, one, we're natural worshipers, but we are on a search for satisfaction, significance,
security.
And security. Mm-hmm. All of those are real desires that we need. We just tend to run to the wrong places. So we never stop worshiping. In Israel's case, mm-hmm. they didn't. They just changed mm-hmm. the object. They just started worshiping something else. And this is kind of what you talked about in week three. You can't just not worship anything.
Right.
You always do. So it's not about removing something from your life that mm-hmm. you worship. It's about replacing it and ultimately mm-hmm. renewing your mind to what's true.
Yes, reorienting the way that you think about it and the way that you, it's putting things back in their proper place.
Yep.
You know, we're not trying to get rid of everything. Now, there are probably some things that you do need to get rid of.
For sure.
Because, idolatry is always going to, not always, but a lot of times idolatry results in, or the symptom that we see of idolatry is sin. And that's when there are some things that probably do need to get removed. Not every form of idolatry is good, but...
But to your point, and this actually leads into the next one, usually when idolatry leads to, it is sin, mm-hmm. right? But when that it in itself starts to lead to other types of sin, it didn't start there.
Yeah, no.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it will always lead there.
Yes.
Which is kind of what we see next there in the Exodus story.
Yeah, right. And verses 5 and 6, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry.
There it is.
Yeah.
So we literally see here how idolatry leads to destructive mm-hmm. sin. And this doesn't what is guys having here? So they make the idol, makes an altar for it. And then they sit down, they eat, they drink, and then it just gets wild. It just, that word actually there in the Hebrew, I wrote down here, it means to be unrestrained, exposed, even shamefully out of control, drunken behavior, orgies, and sexual misconduct. Things got wild. Honestly, think about a college party that just goes crazy.
Sure.
That's what happens here. Yeah, and it started with this worship festival. Right. They started drinking, and then they just got crazy.
Mm.
They lost themselves. They lost their identity. They certainly forgot all about the commandments that mm-hmm. they had committed, they didn't have the commandments yet. Those were on its way, but they certainly forgot about their love for mm-hmm. God. They lost who they were. And they totally forgot that God rescued them from Israel, from Egypt. He set them free, totally different path. And now they've just totally lost. So they fell into this sin that was supposed to make them distinct from any other nation. Now they mm-hmm. look like every other nation. This was really what I spent a lot of week two on, so I don't want to belabor the point, but we've kind of been hitting around this, but this really is what happens when the root of idolatry, misplaced love. This is really what happens. Mm-hmm. When I fail to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then by default, there is something else that I'm loving.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that you can't love God and love. We've talked about mm-hmm. this. In fact, the second greatest, mm-hmm. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else that I love should be through the filter of, first, I've got to love God with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But when I start to love something else
mm-hmm.
as much as God, then I'm making it an idol. And that's always going to lead to some kind of destructive sin or behavior, either in your own life or in the life of somebody else. These are just a few examples. Ambition, mm-hmm. great thing.
Mm-hmm.
When it becomes God and you lead that to, and when it becomes God, at first it's okay, maybe you're just working a lot.
Right.
And okay, it starts with, okay, maybe I'm just not home as often. Maybe it's your job. I'm neglecting. Maybe, okay, I'm missing some dinners.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe it turns into now I'm starting to neglect my kids. But then suddenly the more you try to let that ambition or that job, whatever that's become God, fulfill your need for satisfaction and security. Eventually, like, nothing's going to be enough, so you keep going. So suddenly it looks like I'm going to justify dishonesty in order to get a leg up. Instead of not looking successful, I'm going to step on whoever I need to step on. I'm going to forget my values and my integrity. So suddenly you started with something good, and not only did it along the way, it got worse and worse. As you tried to feed that, you're sacrificing at an altar of a God that's hard to please.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with idolatry. And that's why it ultimately is. And again, I can go on. Like it, you know, you started wanting love. That's a, you were created for it. But then suddenly your need for that became God. And no matter what you did to try to satisfy that, you never got there. Then you find yourself in unhealthy relationships. You find yourself sleeping around. You find yourself engaging with inappropriate content online because you're trying to satisfy that need that you have. Again, it just gets more and more destructive because that God, that good that you've made God, is really hard to please. You know, you, again, I'd mentioned ministering to people, and you don't even have to be a professional Christian, okay? Let's say just, you know, whoever's listening to this, they want to minister, they want to do ministry, they want to share the gospel. Well, when that becomes God, suddenly you can quickly grow to be judgmental towards people, and you start to look like a Pharisee. The law became God, which led them to miss the heart of God. And so no matter how you slice this, our idolatry, because it is moving us from a place of loving God with our heart, soul, centering our lives on loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength to loving something else, it will lead to destruction. And it'll just get worse and worse and worse because these gods, they're very hard to please.
Do you think there's any, I just had this thought. I'm wondering if there's merit to it. Do you think that idolatry, obviously idolatry prevents us, Jesus says the first greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. You, obviously, idolatry prevents us from doing that
because
you can't love God with all of something if you love something else. But then the second one, love your neighbors yourself, do you think also idolatry prevents us, for like any sort of form of idolatry prevents us from loving people?
So like, I bet you could make the argument that any form of idolatry, it's a really great question. I bet you can make the argument that any form of idolatry will keep you from loving people the way God wants you to. Because like to your point, the first commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Boom, baseline. But then the second is like it, love your neighbor. Well, I can't love my neighbor fully if I'm not loving God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the way to love my neighbor is a reflection of, of the first one. But literally, I'm hard-pressed in this moment to think about any kind of idolatry that would not negatively affect somebody. On the other side of me. I mean, think of, I mean, whether it's if job becomes God, that's going to affect your family. That's going to affect somebody that you work with. Honestly, I mean, like inappropriate content affects somebody that you don't know. You know what I'm saying? It affects somebody that is getting paid from this and now they're stuck in the cycle that's leading to destruction. I mean,
it affects the way you view a real person.
A future, your future spouse. So literally, no matter how you, no matter how you cut it, I think any form of idolatry will ultimately also lead to not only destructive sin in your own life, but I think it absolutely leads to an inability to fulfill the second greatest commandment that Jesus said. It's just like the first one, to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, can you think of one that wouldn't lead to...
No, I'm literally even thinking, my mind goes to when Paul writes Timothy that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. No, he doesn't say money. Because you can use money to honor the Lord your God, to love the Lord your God, to love your neighbors yourself. But when I love money, I don't want to give it up, even if I have a neighbor in need, even if I have someone who has a need, because, but that's my money. I earned it.
Exactly. That and hurts it, somebody else.
Yeah, it hurts somebody else.
You're not building up the kingdom. I am hard-pressed. Like someone's going to email me after listening to this. Well, what about this one? It'd be great. I would love it. I'm hard pressed. And I think that this is, I love this. I think this is why Jesus married those two. Because you can't separate them. That's the ethic of Jesus. People will know that you love me by the way that you love others. Like I just, by the way you love one another. And so I think the two have been inextricably linked in the theology of Jesus. And I think you see it in idolatry that it'll dishonor God, it'll destroy you, and it'll hurt those on the other side of you.
That's really great. As we're wrapping, one of the things that I just keep thinking through, and I've been thinking this through this whole series, I think this has been so convicting, even for my own, I mean, I said this, even as I've been writing that for my message and thinking through. It's convicting to me. I'm sure you'd say the same for you in a lot of ways.
No, not as much.
Yeah, okay. I forgot you're perfect.
Just kidding.
But I think that it can kind of leave you feeling like, man, I'm a bad Christian, or man, I'm never going to be able to get there. Like if you're not a Christian and think like, I'm never going to be able to get there. But I think that the way that this ends, and we see this over and over throughout the Bible, you watch the people of God like stray away and make idols out of something. And then God always calls his people back, because his response, even to our idolatry, is yes, he is just, and he will get justice, but he's also so merciful.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way for us to like, just remember, like we talked about this last week, it is a constant cycle of coming back to, I've got to renew my mind. I've got to rethink this. There's going to be new idols that pop up over the course of my life. Like, I don't have kids yet, but one day, God willing that I do, I have to guard my heart against that becoming an idol.
Yeah.
So it's a constant thing, and remembering that God will always be merciful.
No, it's good. And that's how the way that this moment ends in Exodus 34, you see God's justice and you see his mercy. God's angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't hidden in the text.
Yep.
Like Moses is up there. I'd be interested to see how that moment when he's up there and God's like, hey, you can't see this, but here's what they're doing, you know? And he's angry.
Yeah.
God, because of his justice, is ready to just be like, I'm done with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this beautiful moment, Moses intercedes on behalf of Israel. He asks God to have mercy on them, and God does.
Mm.
So then Moses comes down. He sees it. He's still mad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it gets when he smashes the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
I wonder if he was just like, man, okay, overreaction. But, you know, but he's so angry. But then what you have is a beautiful picture that ultimately, I think, points to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That God's wrath in that moment, Moses interceded, asked God to have mercy, and God did. Israel didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally, he just split a sea.
Mm-hmm.
And you're worshiping a golden calf.
Yeah, and why a calf?
I mean,
we didn't even talk about that.
Literally,
that's the next podcast.
Do you think it's a connection to Chick-fil-A?
Maybe. Eat more chicken?
I just thought about that.
It probably is.
But I guess that would be a bad connection because it's an idol. Anyway.
It might be an
idol. Okay, we're off the rails here. But I hadn't thought about that. Okay, so, and a cow, doesn't matter. Okay, so where was I? Moses. So intercedes. Here we go. We're back.
Yeah.
This is what Jesus did.
Yeah.
So on the cross, God's wrath was satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus interceded on our behalf. And so we get to experience God's mercy and grace.
Yep.
So for anybody listening or been tracking along in the series, I remember I was out in the lobby talking to somebody after part one, and if you haven't listen to that one yet, or we have a post on this too on our Instagram that has these questions that help us recognize idols. Somebody came up to me and they're like, hey, the problem with this is that my list is so long.
Mm.
And they kind of laughed and I laughed and I was like, hey, I get it, but just start somewhere and remember there's grace. Like this is a lifelong thing. Like this whole thing of idolatry. And to your point, new seasons will bring new forms of idolatry, right?
Yep.
And so this is a lifelong thing. And so if anyone is feeling shame about that, you need to remember God doesn't want idolatry because he cares for us.
Mm.
He's a jealous God because he knows that a relationship with him is what's best for us. And so one, that God though is full of grace and mercy towards you. Jesus has interceded on our behalf. So there's no shame and there's no condemnation. Yeah. So really it's just asking the question, knowing that you're covered in the grace. Okay, where have I strayed?
Mm.
What in this season am I propping up as God?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's okay, recognize the idol, repent, turn from it to a God that loves you and can satisfy the deepest desires of your soul like nothing else can.
Yeah.
So just and merciful. And because of Moses and, you know, and I think God knew it was going to happen, but I think it set up what Jesus would ultimately do for us thousands of years later.
Yeah, that's really good.
So yeah, that's awesome. Well, that's a wrap. Jake, thanks for jumping into this.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
This has been fun.
Enjoyed the series. We should do it again sometime.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And thanks for tuning in. For those of you traveling over the holiday weekend, travel safe. And for any volunteers tuning in, hope you guys are enjoying a much deserved rest this Sunday. And we can't wait to see all of you back here June 1st at Woodstock City to kick off summer. Love y'all. We'll see you soon.